Welcome to this week's edition of The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. A week after Governor Matt Meyer delivered his first State of the State address, lawmakers embark on their two-week spring recess, an opportunity to regroup before this year's legislative session heads into its stretch run. So where do things stand following Governor Meyer's State of the State and his budget presentation? And what issues are likely to dominate lawmakers' attention in May and June? This week, I sat down with Delaware Public Media political reporter Sarah Petrowich to delve into the current state of play in Dover. So let's start with Governor Matt Meyer's State of the State and some of the priorities he laid out in that address last week. One is a commitment to adding new tax brackets for high-end earners to produce more revenue. Tell us a bit more about that plan and what kind of support he has for it at this point.
Yeah, that was definitely the headliner of his State of the State and his budget. So the current floor for Delaware's highest tax bracket is $60,000, which means in theory, someone who's making $60,000 and someone who's making $200,000 or more are being taxed at the same rate. And Governor Meyer has been a proponent of creating more tax equity within these brackets, or what he calls having people pay their fair share. So he is proposing three new tax brackets for earners at the $125,000, $250,000, and $500,000 threshold. He says that change won't raise taxes for anybody making around $132,000 a year or below, and in fact will actually slightly lower the tax rate for 92% of Delawareans. So the rate increases are only slightly higher than the current highest bracket, so this is really only expected to modestly increase Delaware's income, which I believe is why when I talk to lawmakers after the address, there seems to be mixed reception as to if this is the best plan. Now, it sounds like Democrats are in consensus that the personal income tax brackets need to change, but what exactly that change is still undecided within the caucus. And I also say Democrats intentionally because not only do they have a majority in both chambers, they actually have a 3/5 majority in both chambers, which means they can pass tax bracket changes without Republican support, which hasn't been the case in years prior. But Republicans are still making it clear they don't believe these tax bracket changes are the best move. When I spoke with Republican leadership, they were concerned that these new higher brackets would impact small businesses the most and would also de-incentivize high earners from moving to Delaware, which the state is always trying to recruit more doctors, more high-skilled professionals in general, et cetera. So there is a bill filed in the House by State Representative Sean Lynn that proposes these exact changes that Meyer wants to make. House Speaker Melissa Minor Brown says she doesn't know if that's going to be the version that will make it across the finish line, but I do expect we will see some type of personal income tax bracket bill hit the House floor this session. And just to note, Senate Democrats seem to be on a similar page in that they're not opposed to the tax bracket changes, but it sounds like they want to look at a more holistic approach to fix Delaware's larger revenue problem, considering these changes still wouldn't completely make up for the close to $500 million deficit that the state is expecting within the next couple of years.
So that was one highlight from the speech. The other, I think, was Meyer kind of drawing a line in the sand on one of his key campaign issues, and that's developing a new education funding formula. He says he wants a framework passed by the end of session June 30th. And in this case, it looks like he may get his wish. What is the latest from your reporting on this week on where education funding's at?
Yes, when I initially talked to legislative leadership right after his speech, the consensus from both sides of the aisle was there's pretty much no way an education funding formula could pass by the end of this session. And that's not a new sentiment. It has been brought up at Public Education Funding Commission meetings, which is the body in charge of making those recommendations on how to change Delaware's current funding formula to make it more equitable, that the commission has agreed upon sending its first set of recommendations to the governor by October, and then not even finalizing its recommendations until July of next year. But they had heard that the governor was hoping for some more concrete plans by this summer, and at first Secretary of Education Cindy Martin added some nuance to that expectation, saying that the governor understands it's going to take a couple of years to implement an entirely new formula. But based on the commission's Monday meeting, it sounds like they're really pushing ahead with this potential timeline. The key distinction here is passing a framework versus an actual model. The framework would at least outline how Delaware would change its current funding structure, but a model would include exactly what new buckets of funding would be implemented. So it's kind of inside baseball, but basically the administration is really hoping for at least some semblance of proof that a change to Delaware's education funding model is coming. And if the General Assembly can approve that by the end of this legislative session, then work can continue to be done to perfect what the model will actually be. Although it is worth noting at this most recent meeting, one of the school district's chief financial officers said she thought that passing a model by the summer would be impossible. But Cindy Martin said that she's not so sure they should write it off as a possibility. So all in all, it does seem like the commission is going to push very hard to have a framework by the summer. They even added extra meetings to their calendar to make this happen. But whether or not we will see a full fleshed out funding formula in the coming months is yet to be seen.
Anything else stand out from the State of the State?
Yeah, there were a couple of other hot button issues. He'd mentioned, you know, reviving a homelessness task force, some affordable housing efforts. He also intends to eliminate $50 billion worth of medical debt and is asking the legislature to look into legislation that would keep medical debt from affecting credit reports. We hadn't really heard much on that before, so this kind of seems like a at least new to us effort from Meyer. He also reinforced his commitment to expanding the Port of Wilmington, which we'll get into a little bit later, as well as support for Delaware's recreational marijuana market getting back on track, which we'll also dive into deeper later.
Before we do any of that, though, let's talk a little bit about the budget. Head of the State of the State, Governor Meyer, also laid out his budget proposal, calling it a reset from what lawmakers were working on from former Governor John Carney. We already talked about maybe the biggest piece of that, trying to update the tax brackets to address revenue growth lagging behind rising expenditures. But there's also, of course, the uncertainty surrounding federal funding cuts adding to the mix. That prompted Meyer to lay out some plans to address this kind of looming budget pinch beyond just changing the tax brackets. And let's start with capital spending, because he wants to pull back pretty significantly there, right?
Yeah, this is something we've been seeing in recent years just because of the fizzling out of COVID relief funds, specifically American Rescue Plan Act dollars. And former Governor John Carney's administration opted to spend the majority of those funds on one-time spending capital improvement projects. So seeing a decline is only natural at this point. But during Governor Meyer's budget presentation, his Office of Management and Budget Director Brian Maxwell made a comment about how when you're looking for places to cut, it's easier to cut cash to the bond bill. And some argue he needs to cut more, right? Because then you don't have to cut programs or jobs at the state level. And although cutting funding to the bond bill does save money, it doesn't address this operating budget that's growing far beyond what the state's annual revenue growth is increasing at. So it's kind of low-hanging fruit, you could say, in terms of shrinking a budget. But I noticed that at this year's capital improvement budget hearings, committee members were pretty disappointed with the amount of cuts that they saw. So
we'll keep an eye on that. On the other hand, Meyer is looking at grant and aid funding differently. What's his plan for that funding? And that funding, we should note, goes to fire companies, nonprofits, arts organizations, other community groups, including, for full transparency, Delaware Public Media.
Yes, Governor Meyer is recommending $4.6 million more in support for nonprofits than Governor Carney did, bringing the annual grants and aid bill to a total of $82.8 million. I think this just aligns with his platform approach of investing more in community resources and programming to see better outcomes, which also explains why he's not too keen on cutting the operating budget, right? At this point, he would rather raise revenue sources and cut capital spending and invest in nonprofits to try to even out that budget. So,
the other interesting thing I thought we saw was Meyer's approach to the budget stabilization fund. Some people may remember it more as the budget smoothing process that was created under former Governor John Carney. What does Meyer intend to do with that fund?
Yeah, this has been pretty interesting, even from when he was campaigning. The budget stabilization fund, definitely a proponent of former Governor John Carney, at least trying to advocate for having funds and reserves that could be used in emergency situations, potentially what we're about to see in the coming years. So as far as the current budget proposal, if nothing were to change, if we can't find new revenue sources or decrease our spending, Delaware is looking at depleting the budget stabilization fund entirely over the next two fiscal years, and then would face a $500 million deficit even after depleting those funds in fiscal year 2028. So there's a really good chance that Governor Meyer could use up the entire budget stabilization fund, but maybe irony is a little bit too strong of a word, but he intends to not replenish that fund. He says he's not in favor of, quote, socking funds away. He believes in taking enough revenue from Delawareans from tax income and spending it accordingly rather than saving it as a just-in-case method. And he's repeatedly doubled down on that. So whether or not he does decide to contribute to the budget stabilization fund, whether or not he uses it in its entirety is still on the table. But it seems like lawmakers from both sides of the aisle are in a consensus that they want to keep this fund alive, even though the governor does not.
I feel like from much of what we've talked about, I think it's fair to say that there are multiple points of divergence between Governor Meyer and state lawmakers, even in his own party. And nowhere has that been more evident than the ongoing battle over the Port Board nominees, which returned to the news this week after it appeared to be settled a few weeks ago when the Delaware Supreme Court sided with Meyer on his right to withdraw nominees named by Governor Hall Long during her brief time in office in January and replace them with his own. This week, Democratic leadership in the Senate said, not so fast. So what's the latest on the Port Board and the friction there between really specifically state Senate Democratic leadership and the governor?
Yes. So yesterday, three of Meyer's nominees were confirmed by the Senate Executive Committee, and that was Wednesday. Those candidates include business agent for the International Longshoremen's Association, Local 1883, Kamoko Harris, And we also have former Delaware Board of Pilot Commissioners Chair Robert Jerry Med and former Newcastle County Board of Adjustment Chair David Burt. So they all received their approval from the Senate Executive Committee and now will go to the full Senate for confirmation. Also approved with Secretary of State Charuni Pativana Sanchez as the new chair of the board. But prior to that, on Monday, Senate leadership sent out a statement saying nominees Jen Cohan, a former DLDOT secretary, and Jean Bailey, the former director of the Diamond State Port Corporation and Port of Wilmington, would not be receiving a hearing due to a desire for, quote, different voices. And this is a little bit interesting because it's a preemptive rejection. They didn't even receive a hearing before being denied. When we asked the Meyer administration for comment on those two nominees being rejected, he declined to comment. But we are under the impression he will send two new nominees in there shortly. So we at least have three settled and we have the chair of the board settled. So that's coming. But we also have this task force that just got passed in both chambers of the General Assembly that requires monthly reports as far as the status of the port and expanding that Edgemoor Port project. And this is kind of seen by the Meyer administration as an unnecessary oversight measure. And even it's seen as unnecessary by some lawmakers in the House who voted against the measure, saying that we are putting too many restrictions on the process and we really need to get this done is essentially what they are vocalizing. So the tension continues. And we will still have to see whether or not those two new nominees that come through are approved by the Senate, as well as the future of the project as a whole. But Secretary of State Charuni Pativana Sanchez did reinforce that the Meyer administration is committed to the project, which has been up for debate between Senate leadership and Meyer previously.
The project being the Edgemoor expansion, which has been in the works for some time. And the other thing I do want to clarify is the task force that was created is really a revival of a previous task force that was to help kind of guide the creation of this project. Now they're bringing it back to oversee progress of the project.
Right. The initial iteration of the task force was to essentially explore the feasibility of the expansion project, and now it's really coming back as more of an oversight. So yes, it is a revival, and that's important to know, but it's definitely playing a new role in this iteration.
Sure. The other thing you've been covering recently has been delays in getting the legal recreational marijuana industry launched and the various remedy efforts that are going on. Where do things stand with getting legal weed up and running in Delaware?
Yeah, we're definitely on our way, but also it seems like it's one step forward, three steps back. So State Representative Ed Ozinski introduced a bill that would remedy the federal background check process that in theory will get the recreational marijuana industry back on track. It's a little bit technical as to why the background checks for business license holders were denied in the first place. But once this bill is signed into law, that piece of the puzzle should be resolved. It awaits a vote in the Senate, which is happening later today as we record this on Thursday. And Governor Meyer has already pledged to sign it. But it's still unclear how long the background checks will take after these changes are made. Governor Meyer also said in his State of the State that we should expect a new marijuana commissioner within days, but it's now been a week and we don't have a name as of today, which again is Thursday. And even once the name is released, they will still have to undergo Senate confirmation. So we're waiting for that appointment. And finally, State Senator Trey Pardee's bill that would limit how much a county can restrict zoning ordinances for marijuana dispensaries, which has been quite contentious in the prior months, that awaits committee approval and a full vote in the House, but it's likely to pass. So lawmakers are making moves at getting the industry back on track, but it's still unclear when the market will be ready to go as of this point.
So we'll wrap up by asking you, is there anything else as lawmakers head out on their 2-week spring break that we should be keeping an eye on for what's to come during these last couple of months of the session?
Definitely, yeah. So in addition to that tax bracket legislation, as well as a potential education funding framework, there's still several things that are coming down the pike. Senate Majority Leader Brian Townsend's constitutional amendment to eliminate cash bail release for high-level offenses like capital murder is in the home stretch. It already passed through both chambers last year and passed unanimously through the Senate this year, but House leadership seems a little bit shakier on it this time around. House Majority Leader Carrie Evelyn Harris said during its committee hearing, with the current federal backdrop, she's worried it could increase racial and economic disparities and influence defendants to take plea deals rather than going to trial if they're being held up in preventative detention without the option for bail. So it was released unanimously from committee, but it will be worth keeping an eye on how its vote on the House floor goes. We also have another constitutional amendment from Townsend that would constitutionalize abortion and other reproductive rights. We also have two constitutional amendments from Senator Darius Brown that would codify early voting, permanent absentee voting, and no-excuse mail-in voting, which has had a lot of legal trouble over the past couple of years. So all four of those amendments passed in the Delaware Senate, but they head to the House and will need the approval from at least one Republican lawmaker to pass. So those will definitely be worth keeping an eye on. And State Representative Sean Lynn also introduced a four-bill package that all essentially look to restrict local law enforcement's ability to cooperate with federal agencies conducting immigration enforcement activities, especially within schools and sensitive areas. The only bill that has been released from committee is one that would prohibit the Department of Education, public schools, and operators of companies that hold digital student data from sharing students' information with immigration enforcement agencies without permission from the Delaware Attorney General. And finally, we're recording this Thursday morning, and legalizing medical aid in dying, colloquially known as physician-assisted suicide, is on today's agenda in the Senate, which is in its final steps before receiving a signature from Matt Meyer, who has pledged his support for it. Senate Majority Leader Brian Townsend, who is the sponsor of the bill, says he expects it to pass on the same narrow margins it did last year of 11-10 before Governor Carney vetoed it. So if all goes accordingly, that bill will have cleared the General Assembly and received gubernatorial support after more than a decade's worth of effort.
Thanks to Delaware Public Media political reporter Sarah Petrovich for joining us on The Green this week. And stay with us. We examine the rise in vaping and nicotine use among young Americans and what's being done to address it. You're listening to The Green on Delaware Public Media.